Hey David.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Okay, so let
Perfect.
me go ahead and have you be my co-person. Make co-host. Okay. So you are now the co-host.
Great. So
And
cool.
let's see what here. So, if you click participants, you can see who raises their hand, but the raised hand should also be in the top left of their screen.
Click participate.
Stephen, I decided to wear this in honor of you.
Love it. Solidarity.
Wanted to show you how much I care. Wow, there you are.
I do appreciate a man with a particular brand.
I do too. Voila.
David, I haven't seen you in a while. How are you?
Great. Just at work.
Yeah, at work home. Yeah.
Okay, so David, there you are as far as co-host and hand raising will be handled. Stephen, did you send me the most recent your PowerPoint, or do you want me to use your PDF that you sent me more recently?
I sent you the PowerPoint. It was like 3 minutes ago.
Okay, let me get that. There it is. Let me download that. Get that up here. So how this will go is David will facilitate and will call on people. Does everyone? Well, let's give it a few minutes, and I'll go over like how to raise hands and whatnot. Let me make sure I can.
Let me close my door.
Yeah, please. Private meeting only.
Mark, are you wearing a jaunty cap or are you wearing a headband? Or
I'm
like
wearing a headband to honor our HCAP rep.
See, it prompts discussion too. It's part of the magic of
Absolutely.
it.
It absolutely does.
Oh, those are too
Okay.
bright.
And there's the PowerPoint. Okay.
Great.
Just do slideshow on the PowerPoint here.
Think how.
Don't want that. Okay. I need to figure out how to do this PowerPoint. Sorry, bear with me. Okay, I think I got this. All right, let's see who else would be
Let me
waiting
get my
for.
agenda.
Oh, so interesting to see where people are at. Bill, are you in your office or is that your home office?
I'm in my office.
How about you, Jesse?
Bed.
Bed, very good. Jack's clearly at home. Chuck's at home. I know Melina's at home. That looks like Stephen's home. Irma, you're at home, right?
Yes, I am.
Kevin, you're in your home office, aren't you? Right. Okay, it's 3:01. Should we wait more, David? What do you think?
Yeah, let's wait a couple more minutes. I know that getting dialed in may be a little challenging. But also, what's quorum for this meeting?
Let's just say we've achieved it. It looks like we've achieved it. Everyone's here. Why wouldn't they be here?
It feels like quorum.
This definitely looks like quorum.
So it must be quorum.
Can I ask who was called in on phone number 415-833?
Oh, that's me.
Oh, you're in two places. Okay.
I'm on two places, yeah.
Is Chuck in on this committee?
Yes.
Chuck's there.
Oh, you're there.
Yep.
Oh.
There
we go.
We have
Jesse Murphy.
I haven't seen you in a while, Chuck.
Oh, wow.
So, David, just so that you know, I think maybe for the full council, I'll have to do a roll call. But I think for the smaller ones, we can do like, you can have everyone just go around and introduce themselves. How does that sound to you?
Yeah, sure. Let's do that. Why don't we get started? What time is it? I should start the meeting now, shouldn't I?
Yes.
All right, cool. Let's get on it. All right, starting the meeting at 3:02. Welcome to our first Council Affairs Zoom meeting. David, co-chairing today's meeting. So let's go around and do some introductions really quickly. Let's see. Let's start with council members. So let's start with Kevin.
Hello, I'm Kevin Hutchcroft with HHS.
Great. Irma?
Hi, Irma, council member, and with DPH.
Cool. Jackson?
Jackson Bowman, council member.
Chuck?
Chuck Adams, co-chair of this committee.
Cool. Jesse? Mm-hmm.
Jesse Murphy, council member, with Juliet.
Great. Awesome. And then council staff?
Mark Molnar, council staff.
Melina Clark, council staff.
David Jordan, council staff.
All right. And then committee guests. Let's see, we got Steven.
Steven Spano, HCAP staff attorney at AORP.
Great. And then Bill?
Bill Hirsch, executive director, AIDS legal referral panel.
Okay, and it looks like Richard has joined us. So Richard, could you introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. Richard Sullivan, council member, just here to learn.
Great. Awesome. All right, so moving on to the agenda. It was sent out. Hopefully y'all have access to it.
Before agenda, let me just mention quickly about raising hands. If anyone has any question about that, you click the participant button, and then you'll have a hand-raising option next to your name. Is everyone familiar with the hand-raising function? That's what David will be looking for during any kind of questions or comment period. Yes?
I see mute, more, and rename. Oh, wait, never mind. I see it. It's at the bottom.
Very good.
All right, great. Awesome. Fantastic. There we go. Cool. Thank you. All right. So I guess we have to review and approve of the draft agenda for this meeting. So y'all get a second to look at it. If there's anything, please raise your hand. If not, then we can just move forward by consensus. All right. Since I see none. All right. Agenda approved. Next, are we going to review our March 10th draft meeting draft notes? Oh, cool. So, kind of like a one pager thing. If there's anything from the draft minutes from last meeting, if you guys don't want to raise your hand, it'd be great. If you don't, it's cool. We'll just approve by consensus as well. All right, seeing no hands and no comments, I'll move forward as minutes are approved by consensus. Awesome. Fantastic. All right, any announcements? Okay. Seems like no one's announced.
I have an announcement. Ever. Sorry.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if I can actually raise my hand as a co-host. Sorry. So our full council meeting will be this coming Monday. It is a week early due to the Memorial Day holiday, which we'll all celebrate by staying home. It will be only 2 hours. I'm thinking it'll be 4:30 to 6:30, and we will still have the steering committee later that week on the I think the 21st. Any questions about next week's meeting?
Great, thank you. All right, any public comment? Great, Bill.
So I'm assuming that folks have heard, but in case folks haven't heard, the city has received its Ryan White grant award, and it's a bigger cut than we had anticipated. I believe it's about a $460,000 hit for San Francisco. The leadership of the HIV/AIDS Provider Network has been in conversation with the Department of Public Health, and I think the commitment is to try and find a way to use other funds to backfill the Ryan White reduction at this time. So I'm hoping to have something more definitive from DPH soon, but just wanted to let you know that that was sort of what the city was facing.
Right.
I think it's actually 360 something. We received 488,000 in CARES Act funding, but they took away, with the other hand, our regular Part A award, as Bill said, to the tune of about 360,000, something like that. Rough numbers.
Okay. And I'm sure this will be part of the Department of Health report for the full council, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, great. Thank you. Any other announcements before moving on to HCAP annual report? All right, seeing as none, next we'll have the HCAP annual report by Stephen Spano.
All right, so bear with me. Let me get this up on the screen. Stephen, when you want me to go to the next slide, just tell me and I'll move forward. And so just give me a moment.
So can I say something while you're getting your screen going? So I just want to say that ALRP is really proud of the work that Stephen has been doing in the community. I think that you folks have gotten an opportunity to hear regular reports from Stephen in the time that he's been with ALRP in this role. And I have been really impressed by the passion that he brings to the work and by the compassion that he brings to the work as well. So I'm here in case there are any questions or if there's anything I can do to chime in, but it's Stephen's show, and yeah, there you go.
Cool, thank you. You know, I'll start just by thanking everybody. I have really enjoyed being a part of, you know, the discussions that happen, not only at the Planning Council, but also at the committee levels. And, you know, this is my first time at the Affairs Committee, but I'm really happy to be here. So I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about the project. First, I have a couple of goals for our meeting today. You can switch to the next slide. First, I want to tell you a little bit about the program. Next, I'll give you a little bit about what happened this year. You'll see some statistics. And next, after that, I want to talk to you about some of the challenges that I've seen our consumers face, and tell you a little bit about how we've been able to address those successfully. So you can go ahead and switch. So HCAP is the HIV Consumer Advocacy Project. We're here to basically provide service to consumers of Ryan White Care funded programs, as well as other agencies that are funded by the San Francisco Department of Public Health. That I know of, I'm pretty much the only person in the country that does this, and I'm fortunate to have some really excellent predecessors. You know, the reason that it's unique is because San Francisco is the only EMA that has been able that has authorized it and seen it as a need. And I think you'll see today that it is actually an important need, and it fills an important role. You can go ahead and switch over. Qualify for HCAP services, you have to be a consumer living with HIV or AIDS. You have to be trying to access a Ryan White Care funded service or a San Francisco DPH HIV Health Services Agency, and you have to reside in one of the three counties that is in the San Francisco EMA, San Francisco, San Mateo, or Marin County. So a little bit about, just in the same vein, a little bit more about the program. You know, what are the goals of the program? My goals are always to make sure that a client is connected to the system of care. Oftentimes, I'm either the last person that they're talking to or the first person that they're talking to. So my goal is always to make sure that they feel supported in my office and see how it is that we can address whatever issues they are experiencing that's you know, keeping them from accessing the many services that are out there to help. So that comes in the form of advocacy, mediation, referrals. You'll see this year there were a significant number of referrals, which I'm pretty proud of. On the service provider end, I'm also able to provide assistance to service provider. I can provide technical assistance in the form of drafting confidentiality policies, as well as grievance policies. You know, one of the other things, I haven't been accessed this year to do any of that, which I'm hoping to change in this next year through, you know, more effective outreach, which I think I can improve on for that service. One of the things that I'd like to open up myself or make myself available for is for talking about best practices and how to utilize those policies, because many service providers have them. Even if they're outdated, you know, I can always take a look, but if they're not implemented or if they're not used in a proactive manner or in the proper manner, then they're kind of useless. I can receive direct service referrals from service providers, which I've also had. And another thing that's more common as a result of my relationship with the service providers is assisting with whatever issues or barriers that the consumer is facing in order to access other services. So oftentimes I'll get called in by consumers, case managers, or somebody else working with the client and say, hey, Stephen, you know, this client's having this issue. I'm not sure if it's an HCAP thing, but hey, can you help? And that's always something that I'm able to, I'm happy to triage, see if it is something I can help with or get them to someone who can. So HCAP is at ALRP. I report directly to Bill Hirsch, and we have a managing staff attorney that I report to as well. You can reach me by email or phone. I'm also available for walk-ins. And I'll tell you a little bit about what we did this year. Consumers self-report this data. I've, you know, kind of reviewed the epidemiology report, and we tend to, there's been no significant deviation from the overall numbers that were reported at the planning summit, the planning council summit last year. But this year we worked with 90 unduplicated clients, which are basically clients who are the only, they're only counted once for that contract year, but they may have many different matters. So there are some clients that have multiple matters, and which is why you see that I have a total of 123 HCAP matters in this year. No serious deviation from the past couple of years, actually exactly the same as last year. There was one client in Marin, same is true here. Still no cases in San Mateo. This is the self-reported data. Obviously there's 61 of HCAP clients of the 90 clients are over the age of 50. That's in line with previous reports and the population of people living with HIV aging. Again, no significant deviation from the overall epidemiology report. We had 49 clients who identified as white, 16 identified as Latinx, and 15 identified as an African American. There were certain ones that certain people that identified as mixed race as well. Sexual orientation, 64 people were identified as gay or lesbian, 16 as heterosexual, and 7 as bisexual. A significant percentage, the heavy majority of clients are are significantly impacted by poverty. They're with an income less than $15,000, typically on public assistance. You can see more of this information on other areas of the report, but you'll see that the different categories that exist of the service categories that the Planning Council has of the service corps is the categories that the Planning Council has allocated funding towards. There were the top three categories receiving services from HCAP this year included emergency financial assistance, primary medical, and housing. And the top four issues were referrals, access, and miscommunication. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit. The services rendered, nearly all of the clients received some form of advice and consultation. Agency referrals accounted for a majority of the matters seen, as well as representation in meetings being the next leading cause. There's a significant difference. I will say that, you know, there are a lot of clients when they come in, they're dealing with multiple issues. They may need a referral. If I'm referring to a different agency, I count that as a separate case, but oftentimes the same case will have multiple services that I render. And so there could be some duplication. The outcomes is the same. So services rendered to nearly all of the clients. The ones that are missing from there, for the most part, are currently being served, or those cases have not been yet wrapped up. Seven grievances were filed this year, and in four of those instances, the agency action was sustained. Three of them obviously was overturned. So just to kind of condense this all down, what I'm finding is, you know, based on the HCAP cases, the emergency financial assistance is the greatest need. I've seen that positively affect people's housing, but it is obviously still an issue for clients if they're facing some dire financial need. Primary medical care issues are also spread over several categories, but we're talking about, mainly making sure that clients are, so that I'll fix for next week. I apologize. Primary medical care, obviously my main issue is making sure that clients are connected to primary medical care. And oftentimes that looks like, speaking with their case managers, which is a big part of my job is working with case managers. And it's part of my job that I really value. Again, another thing about that we're seeing is the majority of consumers are 51 or older. This is consistent with the patterns that we've seen. They're also extremely low income. I was happy to see the Planning Council, general fund dollars allocated to serve the population of people living with HIV that are aging and long-term survivors. I think that is a need that I saw mirrored in my caseload. There was a shift in service categories from the previous years, and you know, we can kind of see from last year, I think it was housing was the single biggest thing, and this year it is too. But we saw it's a large issue, but we saw a decrease in housing issues, and I have to believe that some of that has to do with access to financial resources because of the interesting correlation between the increase and decrease in those two numbers. And I've also seen a shift towards the least adversarial methods of dispute resolution. I'll talk about it in a little bit. There's further slides to kind of talk about. You can move ahead, but the challenges that our consumers face are oftentimes best served by being less adversarial. You can go ahead to the next slide. So. We have been talking about homelessness for a long time, and housing is a human right. So that's been our mantra. That's one of the things that I've heard across the board, across the service category spectrum. But it still has to be internalized. And what we have to understand is I feel like when people are coming or facing an eviction or they're facing housing instability, they are having a basic human right threatened or denied to them. So their baseline is going to include the associated fear and anger that accompanies that. So the stress, the fear, and the anxiety that can impact a consumer's mental health and substance use disorder can cause the termination of services, but it can also exacerbate a client's disabilities in a lot of instances. And we do see that at AORP. AORP's housing team has been very efficient at solving some of those problems. But one of the ways that we do it is by making sure that the client, even if we defend an eviction successfully, is connected to wraparound services so that they can maintain their housing. Otherwise, we're just going to be wind up defending another eviction in 4 months. So our connection to service providers has been helpful to informally resolve a lot of issues, avoid litigation, and also connect the client to services that are going to keep them stably housed. One of the things that I see with consumers and that a lot of people may not put together is that all of these issues, when you combine them, it's anecdotally, you know, I was an attorney in the housing field, other fields as well, but I represented clients in housing cases, and I'm also HIV positive. And, you know, representing clients, I had kind of the benefit of having healthcare, being connected to the system. And every 3 months, I would go to the doctor and I would have my blood drawn and I would see my T cell count. And when I was litigating, I would watch my T cell count ride like a roller coaster going up and down, depending on whether I was in court or not, whether I was involved in a stressful case or not. And I wasn't even the one whose housing was in jeopardy. And I wasn't dealing with a lot of the issues that the clients were dealing with. So when I look at the case, I don't look at it from a legal perspective. And that's, you know, probably, you know, that's a lot of privilege that I get as the HCAP attorney, as opposed to being one of the housing attorneys. But my primary goal is to keep that client's T cell counts in check, right? I want to make sure that that client's stress levels are such that they can manage the other aspects of their health, like taking their medication, like showing up to their therapy appointments, like bringing me important paperwork when we have a necessary issue to deal with. You can go ahead and switch to the next. So a large number of clients have mental health issues and substance use disorder. This is another challenge that I've been seeing, and we see it across the board. Behavioral issues definitely create barriers to services, and certainly providers need to feel safe, but we wind up in this position with our most vulnerable clients where their behavioral issues are preventing them from accessing services within the spectrum of care. And there's really no clear guidance or ability to do anything about it once you are the provider of last resort. So when I have a client that's been basically 86, or as I think it has been indelicately put, has burned bridges all across the country, all across the city, which is a term that I can't really handle. what am I to do, and where are we supposed to put them? Psych emergency has been is an unfortunate referral to have to make to tell somebody to call PES if they're, or show up to PES or self present when they're in crisis, because there's a lack of available service providers for those particular or those particular people. At least in one instance this year, I saw a client flee to another service provider. I can tell you, I do not have faith that they are going to find a better system of care elsewhere in the country at a different EMA. I feel like we all have to be providers of last resort. Have been very successful at keeping clients engaged despite their behavioral issues. My hope is always to be able to smooth issues over to the extent that service providers are still able to provide services to clients who are experiencing crisis. I can have the next slide. The other challenge that is very evident and has been reported in multiple times is the population is aging. The population of people living with HIV has a particular set of challenges. Not only are there ongoing struggles with isolation, but there's also been some challenges with clients who don't have people in their life who they trust to be an executor of their state or a beneficiary in their will. They don't have somebody that they can name as a power of attorney. So when we get clients at AORP that want to do a will, the question is, well, you know, what do you want to do with your money? And they don't really have an answer for that. So, that by itself, I feel like when you're dealing with something like that on a personal level and you walk into your lawyer's office, you're already walking in with a sadness about you, right? And that you don't have somebody to name for that. I can't imagine what that would be like. But I know I don't want to experience that, and I don't want any of my clients to experience it as well. So there's definitely a need for more psychosocial support. That is another service category. It's not listed as one of the top three here, but it was it is in my report as one of the service categories that had saw a very sharp increase in need from a lot of our clients. And I have to believe that it has something to do with the aging population. Another thing that's common is a lack of empathy by the younger community members. You know, I have heard the many reports that we've heard in the Planning Council reports and presentations is definitely echoed in my office. That is that people feel like the younger generation doesn't understand what they're going through. I've been dealing with HIV for this and such long, and they have not seen this. And those are stories that I hear that I really empathize with because, you know, I think overall in our society, we don't understand generational trauma. And it's certainly something that that our clients experience in San Francisco and anywhere. I think obviously we're softer than a lot of other EMAs, but we can always do better. And I think we need to make stronger strides towards trauma-informed care and cultural sensitivity in that regard. I think when we talk about cultural sensitivity, we typically talk about other, different demographics. But if we think of people living with HIV as its own culture in some respect, I think we really need to recognize that. I can have the next slide. So there have been some successes, which I'm pretty proud of. We saw an increase in mediation and representation in meetings, totals the 21 cases up from 9. Those can occur telephonically or face-to-face. One of the reasons I view this as a success for us is, or I view it as a promising service trend, is, as I said earlier, I think the least adversarial method towards dispute resolution is the best way to handle any problem for a client who is experiencing some of these issues. It does not do a T-cell well to stack challenges on top of one another, nor does it help solve any one particular problem because it can become overwhelming, not only for the client, but also for the service provider, because we all can't do everything. So it's important that we rely on each other, and it's important that we resolve these disputes informally. I'm really, really grateful for the system of care that we have. I've been really lucky to work with some amazing service providers, and I'm hoping to increase that and make sure that we're all on board with making sure that when we see things like grievances, which I'll talk about in a second, we view them more as invitations as opposed to, punishment. So there has been a decrease in grievances filed. This could indicate a lot of things, not the least of which could be, some nomenclature. My predecessor may have used different verbiage for these things. There's some subjectivity to what, how we categorize this. I've tried to be as consistent as possible, but sometimes we see things differently as lawyers and advocates. For me, I think less grievances indicates certainly some less problematic policies on the part of the service provider, which is great. But it could also indicate a stronger tendency toward cooperation, which I also think is great. So in any case, I feel like grievances, a decrease in grievances filed could be is a promising service trend that I'd like to see increase or continue. I'm evaluated in a number of different ways. ALRP sends out satisfaction surveys on my behalf. This year, 113 surveys were sent out. It is a constant struggle to try and get those back. We had a 4% response rate this year. Many of my clients struggle with a lot of mental health issues, substance use issues. Some of them are technologically disconnected or simply don't have an address. So it is a constant struggle to get feedback from clients in that way. But I have other ways of being evaluated. I do outreaches. This year we exceeded our contract goals on the outreach side. On the provider side, I did 11 outreach presentations. On the consumer side, I did 8. In both, I had consistent responses. It was 93% of consumers and providers found the presentation to be helpful. So this is actually a fun part, right? The success stories, the HCAP, I had an HCAP consumer with cognitive challenges who needed a new state ID in order to recertify their housing subsidy. I wouldn't say it's the most common issue, but it's a very illustrious issue, because what it does is it shows exactly some of the problems that could occur if this doesn't happen. Because if you can't recertify for your housing, or you can't apply for assistance using your state ID, you remain disconnected. And this was a client who has some significant cognitive issues. It's not a person who can really show up to the DMV themselves and navigate whatever it is that has to do, or that they have to do. And in this instance, it was complicated by the fact that the client had multiple name changes and had tried to do that before, had tried to change their name on their license before, and had done it improperly. And the DMV saw that as fraud. So what we had to do was basically correct that issue before we could even get into the challenge of getting the client a state ID. So that was done through, this is a case that took a significant period of the year. Most of it was waiting, but for appointments and stuff, but it is an issue that we were able to resolve eventually. And it took the cooperation from a lot of different service providers so I'm very grateful for that. One of the unintended consequences and happily intended consequences of this case was that through the process, this client gained an appreciation not only for HCAP, but also for the other service providers that helped them. And although they typically have been relatively disconnected from services, I see them every couple of weeks. They show up just to check in and bring me paperwork and tell me what's going on in their life and gripe about what's happening at their house. And, you know, there are certain days that I can sit there and I can listen and I can't identify any kind of HCAP issue, but it's still helpful to listen. And then there are other days when I can identify an issue, and it's either a referral to a different organization, but I'm always trying to find some way to hear that person and try to improve their connection to the system of care and keep them connected to the system of care. So that pretty much sums up the HCAP report. I obviously am happy to answer any questions that I can.
All right. So if there's any questions or any comments, just raise your hand on the Zoom thingy and we'll call on you. Or you can raise your hand on video. Jackson.
Thank you so much for that. I guess it's not really a question, but I just wanted to say that I've heard several of these reports, and I think this is the first time that I've heard one that really felt like it had a lot of heart, and that it really came across how much you care about the work that you do and the clients that you serve. I particularly liked the antidote around sort of T-cell count and like really, you know, recognizing that this work is around maintaining health, not just getting people connected to services, and that you can see those changes. So I appreciate your sharing your part of your story with us, and this work that you're doing, and this presentation was really great. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Oh, Jesse? Oh, Jesse and then Mark.
Actually, I was mostly agreeing.
Oh,
like failing about men, but
<It's> ASL.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Great. Mark?
Same. You have a lot of great predecessors for sure. All props and respect due to them. But this was the most humane version of this presentation I've ever seen, while still keeping the activist advocacy part of it front and center. I thought this was incredible. I'm really glad that this presentation, you went slide by slide instead of doing a summation, which presenters often do, because it was wonderful to hear. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, and thanks for your help with it too.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, Jesse and then Jackson.
Well, it just occurs to me that I imagine folks will have questions about the current state of affairs and, like, you know, if you've, like, what's going on, or if you've noticed anything. So I just, you know, just to kind of, I mean, I'm curious, and I imagine that folks will, you might get that question, so.
Absolutely. So, you know, I mean, I can tell you, yesterday I was presented with an access issue. I think this is without the scope of the presentation overall, but I, you know, I've been to the Planning Council before, and I'm anticipating that. So, you know, the, you know, there was an interesting access issue that I had yesterday. I had a client who is in a substance use, a residential substance use facility, who had an issue and requested a grievance policy. And basically the response by the service provider was to tell them to show up to the office and pick it up, which was, you know, an office somewhere else. And they had CC'd me on the email, and Mike asked my question was, why? Is there really, we can't think of another way to get this person a copy of the grievance policy? How about send it to me? And you know, I mean, it's going to take a minute apparently for this, you know, client or for this, for me to get a copy of the grievance policy that we're going to use to file this grievance for this client. But you know, I mean, that for me, that presents a big access issue. What is the point of a grievance policy? I mean, how does it feel when you walk into, when you walk into somebody and make a complaint and you say, well, I, you know, who can I complain to? And it's like, you know, the complaint, put it in our complaint department, and they show you the trash can. Like, there's not even a way to resolve that issue. So that to me presents an access issue. I don't think it was an intentional thing, but it's certainly time for service providers to step up to the plate and, you know, have PDFs of these documents that they can easily send out so that clients aren't running around in the middle of a health crisis to try and get a piece of paper. That seems, you know, like an issue that should be addressed. You know, I don't, because it's, and I guess it's there wasn't a direct question that you asked necessarily, Jesse, so I want to make sure to address it, but I think the best way to address it is to make sure that everybody on the Planning Council, both service providers and consumers alike, know that I'm here and I'm still working, and we're still working, and we're still taking referrals, and I'm still happy to connect people to services where I can.
Great, thank you, Jackson.
I'm gonna acknowledge that this is nitpicky before I do it, but. I didn't take a bunch of notes, but like there's a couple places where there's like two those next to each other, or like an acronym was like not quite right. So just that kind of thing. Overall, the presentation is amazing, but
yeah.
It's dumb, I know, but.
No, I appreciate it. It definitely, it'll get cleaned up before next week. And I apologize for those things. I was kind of, the report itself, I was working on the report, and that was the thing that I was most focused on. The presentation is, I've been working on all day, so.
That's fine.
Thank you.
Any other input, any other questions, comments?
Hey, David, this is Thomas.
Hey.
Hey. So I think the, how do I say this succinctly? I'm excited that you're presenting, just due to the fact that it was clear, it was interesting, and it was dynamic. And I think that's a little bit of a challenge on a Zoom call. So just to provide you that feedback, if nothing else, don't worry about the, you're coming across well with regards to the platform.
Thanks.
Does that make sense?
I appreciate that. I can attribute that to my headband.
Exactly. Well, the backlighting a little bit is not quite working, if I'm going to be nitpicky. Along with that.
Yeah, that's an issue I noticed earlier. I'll figure out how to address that.
But seriously, your voice tone and your articulation is really helpful with regards to it. It's like you're not muffled or anything along those lines. So I think you'll be able to engage the folks via the Zoom. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Is the council able to send Stephen a ring light?
Steven should experiment on virtual backgrounds. I've heard they're great.
they're very tired and virtual backgrounds.
What? Call her out. All right. Anyone else? Excuse any me? More intake and input? Any more comments? The one thing that I wanted to, I guess, I don't know if it's a question as more as I don't know. Is what's really interesting about your presentation, I know you'll get questions about, is the whole thing about grievance. it's, you know, because you have a really good take on it where it's like, oh no, your methodology is trying to go for less grievances and more sort of working things out with folks, you know, making sure there's more of a negotiation, more of a working together versus filing a grievance. And I think that's really interesting. It piques my interest, and you may get some questions on that. So just be prepared to present on that a little bit, or just speak more about that, because I think the presentation the way it is perfect. I don't want to make it any longer or any more sort of like complex than it should be. But if that comes up, I would love for folks to just refer to you outside of the Zoom meeting to get more information on that.
Yeah, I'm happy to share if those questions. I mean, you know, I can talk about it now too. I had a client send my link to my state bar profile to the San Francisco FBI. Multiple emails and implicating me in all of these scandals. And, you know, my response was to contact the client to see if they needed help filing a grievance against me. And I'm happy to do that. I'm happy to do that against any of the attorneys at AORP, because it's an opportunity for us to, it's an opportunity for us to improve. It's an opportunity for us to hear what the client is saying and literally sit down and listen and hear, because it's very easy to get defensive, and lawyers in particular can get defensive pretty quickly. But it is an opportunity to learn from consumers. I think it's really easy for service providers to say like, oh, this client is this, and dig in their heels on their stance and really not listen. That's the benefit of mediation. That's the benefit of informal dispute resolution. That stops the second a complaint is filed, right? The second you file a complaint in court, parties aren't even able to talk to one another. That's the benefit of this program, is that they don't have to do that.
Cool, thank you. Anyone else before we end this and move on to the next topic? All right, seeing as there's none. Thank you so much, Stephen, that was amazing. Oh, wait, Phil. Oh, okay, bye.
Do you need me on the rest of the meeting, or should I take off?
I think we're set, right, Mark?
We're all set. You can stay if you want or not.
Well, I should try to wrap up some stuff before the end of the day, but I appreciate everybody's feedback. Thank you all. I look forward
to seeing you. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. All right, moving on to the next topic. We've got the 2020 work plan review. Just discuss presentations and virtual meetings, I guess. Mark, was this one of your topics? Yes. Mm-hmm. Great. Yep. Take it away.
All right. Let me get you guys here so I can see all of your wonderful faces. Okay. So here we have our work plan. As you can see, there's some unusual coloring happening here. January and February, obviously done and done. March and April, we didn't meet. So we have a number of presentations that we can try to move into other months. I don't want us to do full year planning during this part. Maybe just let's start looking at what we should be doing for June and maybe July if we have time. As you'll see for May, we only have two presentations, and I think that's going to be the paradigm for the rest of the year, at least for as long as we're doing virtual, and who knows how long that will last, honestly. The idea being that a virtual meeting is possibly best experienced at more of a two-hour point rather than a three-hour point. And even 2 hours seems like a lot. So that means we're not going to have more than two presentations. We probably will also have to let go of the council member panels, which kind of sucks because I love them. But we got to fit it all into 2 hours, and there's going to be a number of updates and reports that we're going to still continue to need to hear, from CHEP, from HHS, from the CARE Coalition, from Getting to Zero. For CPG as well. We should also probably be hearing now from committees. This was a suggestion even before shelter in place, but I think now with shelter in place and virtual meetings, it's even more important to have a time on the agenda for each of the committee co-chairs to just check in about what went on in the most recent meeting. So all that said, for May, we have these two presentations. We have Stephen's, and then we have not so much a presentation, a discussion coming from the CHEP end of end the HIV epidemic funding. They want to do, I guess, a community planning type discussion. They previewed it, or at least they had the start of the conversation at the last steering committee meeting. And the one thing that I noticed was that there wasn't a whole lot of heavy involvement from council members. It might be because Zoom was still fairly early in their life experience. That might not be the case come next Monday, or it may be. But they are asking for an hour. So it's a chunk of time, right? So those are the two things. Now let's look at June. Clearly, of course, we had, that was gonna be our themed month to really connect with the challenges and service continuum around the trans populations. I'm not sure that's how possible that will be at this point, but particularly since it was going to be multiple presenters and a panel, and we have not actually looked at what we missed in March and in April. So let's go back a little bit. With March, we did have a Happen update. I think we should just move that off at this point. We could ask Bill to verbally report. There was a lot of, is Bill still on this call? There was a lot of resistance from Happen to do an actual presentation. They really preferred to do it more verbally, which is fine, right? I mean, certainly in Zoom meetings, verbal is totally fine. So I think if that's still seen as a need, and I think it will be because of the funding crisis the city is going into, we can have that verbally. Mobile medical care was a complex presentation. This one was going to be Deb Bourne and several different co-presenters, as well as a panel that she wanted to bring of clients of mobile medical care. It was going to be an updated and expanded version of a presentation that she gave at a conference or two. So those are those. In April, we were going to ask for an STD update. I assume that was from DARPIN. I don't have my notes on that, let's see. Oh no, it was from DARPIN and Susan, as well as our usual annual presentation around HCV, but really connecting more with microelimination efforts happening. So those were all things that we didn't get to. Do we wanna look at any of those, specifically mobile medical care, STD update, microelimination and HCV, possibly have an update for June?
Has anybody who confirmed for May or June been like in contact with us to say like, I'm still good to go, I can do this on Zoom, or I absolutely cannot do this on Zoom?
I had not confirmed with anyone. I start working with presentations 2 months beforehand. If I do it longer than that, I lose them, honestly.
Right. And I think we had a list of folks we were probably interested in asking, but I don't think we were going to get to it until actually, this month. And we're supposed to be like last month, this month, because I think one of the folks on the list was like Jenna Requess, I think was one of the folks we had yep. suggested. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying we shouldn't do trans at some point, obviously, very important. We do have a number of important presentations that we didn't get to in March and April that I think we should sort of prioritize still, at least some of them are really connected to current efforts. I'm thinking HCV and STD, but it's not up to me.
All right, anybody else, anybody?
So I like the STD and the Hep C stuff. I think I could actually, it's funny, I was just talking to Stephanie Cohen from City Clinic, and she was kind of just saying what's going on over there. So it's something to say, and it's interesting. So if we want to pursue those, I think it could be an option.
So do people agree then that I can pursue STD and HCV for the June meeting?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, great. I think so. Looking forward for July, you'll see that there was what was supposed to be in May is Kaiser and Bridge HIV pop-up clinic update with Mary Lawrence and a PrEP update. Is there anything there in particular that you would like me to prioritize? The pop-up clinic might be particularly relevant, and I don't know how much longer Mary Lawrence is going to be working with us.
Right.
Is that something that I could look into? It also received more recent funding as well, of course.
Yeah, Mark, I would
I would.
You should.
I think that would be great.
Okay, and I want to save time in July for carry forward allocation. So I don't want to really put in another one at this point. I mean, we might have to put one in, but for July, we might not just have carry forward allocation. We might have our own reallocation discussion. As Kevin and Thomas reported, we did receive a significant cut. I'm not sure yet. Maybe Kevin knows if that falls within our own reduced funding scenario. If it does not, we do need to reconvene that discussion. So that said then, in summation, thank you very much. For June, I'll be reaching out to Susan and Darpin. Oh, I'm scared to reach out to Susan and Darpin right now. I know they have their hands full. Hey, Thomas, maybe, you know, just walk down the hall or something.
Right over there.
Yeah, just ask him, you know. Bring gifts when you ask. And then I can reach out to Katie, of course, for HCV, and I'll reach out to Mary Lawrence to see if she'd still be able to do a pop-up clinic update. And then we'll stay tuned. Kevin, do you have any update on whether or not we'll have to, the reduction falls within our reduced funding scenarios, or if we'll have to reconvene to redetermine?
I haven't heard definitively from Dean about that, but I think that it actually does fall under those scenarios.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, then but I'll let you know. We might have
room in July for a second after all.
Yeah, well, we will let you know for sure.
Okay, sounds good. Then I think I have my marching orders from the group. Does anyone else have anything to add for our work plan for this month, for June, and potentially for July?
Just there seems to be a thread in the chat about your hat.
It's not a hat. It's called hair.
Maybe my Zoom's not working right.
I don't think it is. You have something on your face, too. Can you wipe that off?
Now, children, behave. Company's watching.
Thomas, right. You joined late. I'm wearing this in honor of Stephen, our wonderful presenter.
I'm missing a trend. Okay, so we're almost done with time. Is there anything else that we need? Oh, by the way, so just to let you all know, did we ever get a confirmation about what the ending the HIV epidemic presentation was supposed to be, or the discussion for the full council?
No, Thomas didn't get back to us on that one.
What the presentation was going to be?
Yeah, from Hannah and from
Shelly.
Charlie, yeah.
I'll get back to them. Sorry about that. Okay. I dropped the ball there. I know there's been communication with regards to what they're trying to put together. So.
Okay. And then Melina, you have something?
Hey, I forgot to announce this in the beginning, but for folks that received an email from Allie about your renewal, just please remember to submit that as soon as you can. Thanks.
Great.
Sorry, I've gotten multiple emails from Allie regarding that. I will get on it.
Thanks.
All right, I have nothing else to do. Is that it, Mark? Great. All right, thanks so much, everybody, for this
nice
meeting.
Nice to see you all.
Nice seeing all of you.
All.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks. All
right, bye.
And bye. I guess we'll see you all on Monday.
See you Monday. Bye.
Bye, everyone. Hello, Irma.
Bye.